From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where renters no longer have the upper hand. That's right, the city's rental market has surged back to where it was before the pandemic. WBUR reporter Simone Rios has been following this trend and joins us now. Hey, Simone, how's it going?
I'm doing well, Paris.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear it. So I'm wondering, Simone, local colleges and universities have brought students back for in-person learning. Is that what's driving the surge?
That definitely seems to be the case in several neighborhoods. What's really astounding to me in this story is sort of the contrast of how, you know, when the pandemic hit, the whole rental market just went off a cliff. And then just as quickly when universities and companies started opening back up, the rental market came booming back like nothing happened. I spoke to Gretchen Haas. She's a real estate agent based in Dorchester. She said when UMass Boston opened up, her phone started ringing off the hook. Let's listen to what she says it takes to land a place these days.
It went about 0 to 100. Rental applicants were starting to treat their application packages like offer packages, and they're offering $100 more, longer lease term cycle, whatever they can to kind of like make their package stand out compared to the other applicants.
Okay, that sounds really stressful. So walk us through the numbers here, Simone. How much is rent in Boston these days?
So rent prices today are around $2,500 for a two-bedroom non-luxury apartment. That's according to local real estate tracker Boston Pads, and it's almost exactly what rent prices were at before the pandemic. Dimitrios Salpoglu of Boston Pads says the pandemic really weighted the market in favor of renters.
Landlords started dropping security deposits. They started dropping last month's rent, and they would pay the broker's fee. So the move-in costs became super easy for people.
But now things seem to be going back in favor of landlords. So that means things like waived broker's fees and free month's rent, those aren't nearly as prevalent as they were at the start of the pandemic. Another thing realtors look at is vacancy rates. So the higher the vacancy rate, the easier it is to find a place, and the lower the prices. So before the pandemic, the market was so tight that just 2% of apartments in Boston were empty. That's also according to Boston Pads data. But the vacancy rate more than quadrupled during the pandemic, topping 9% by last September. Now vacancy rates are basically where they were before the pandemic, reducing the need to offer incentives to renters.
And does that mean that there are fewer available apartments?
Yes, on that front, just 3% of Boston area apartments are available for rent today, and that's even lower than before the pandemic. Extremely low numbers here, but you can expect that with Boston and Cambridge being among the most competitive rental markets in the country, you know, alongside cities in New York and California.
So what you're saying, Simone, kind of reminds me of what's happening with the sales market right now. I mean, there's very little inventory and it's really expensive to buy a house right now. Is there any correlation between the two?
I think there is. You know, the inventory problems in homes for sale seem to track pretty closely to the competition we see on the rental side. It comes down to how many people want to live in the city, whether renting or buying. And the really slow pace of new construction we're seeing really doesn't help. Of course, it doesn't seem like we're at a loss. You drive through certain parts of Boston and there seems to be development all over the place. But compare that to the demand for housing and we have a long way to go.
Yeah, and I'm sure the pandemic has only complicated that journey.
Yeah, it's a brave new world we're living in, Paris. But the one thing that's clear is the region needs more housing. It's also different from place to place in terms of where the rental market is at. So East Boston, where there's a lot of new construction that's recently come online, they're still struggling, apparently, to catch up with pre-pandemic rent levels, while places like Alston Brighton, where so many students are located, are back on track with pre-pandemic rent levels. That's a good thing if you own rental property in the city, but if you're a renter, not so much.
I can only imagine. Well, that's WBUR reporter Simone Rios. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Paris. Good to be here.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. The first phase of acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey's vaccine or test mandate is getting underway today. Under the mandate, city workers must prove that they're vaccinated against COVID-19 or face weekly testing. Janey has faced criticism from some who say the requirement doesn't go far enough. But Boston Teachers Union President Jessica Tang says the mandate gives flexibility to workers who may be unvaccinated for personal reasons.
We do have a number of teachers, for example, who tried to get vaccinated but then had, you know, allergic reactions or for medical reasons couldn't, that it absolutely still is a step in the right direction.
Boston's two remaining mayoral candidates are speaking out about the mandate. Michelle Wu, who is among those urging Janey to go further, says she plans to build on the requirement. And Anissa Saibi-George says she's encouraging all city workers to get vaccinated as soon as possible. Sticking with COVID precautions, a new mask mandate is taking effect in Worcester today. Under the requirement, people will need to wear masks in all indoor public spaces. That includes places like grocery stores and restaurants. Worcester City Manager Ed Augustus says the effort against COVID is a battle.
And you don't go into a battle with just some of your weapons. You need all your weapons. Getting vaccinated and wearing a mask remain our best defense against this enemy.
Starting in November, Worcester will be following in Boston's footsteps and requiring that city workers get vaccinated or undergo weekly testing for COVID. And finally, the Big E is now underway in Western Massachusetts. The annual fair, officially known as the Eastern States Exposition, kicked off in West Springfield this weekend, just as that city put its own indoor mask mandate in place. Big E President Gene Cassidy says that despite the pandemic, the fair's opening day was the third biggest in its 105-year history. Cassidy says that local COVID protocols, including the indoor mask mandate, are being followed.
It's a little bit of an effort, but people are being very kind. We haven't had any sort of stress. And, you know, sometimes they just kind of forget.
Cassidy says there is a vaccination clinic on site. The Big E runs through October 3rd. Okay, so I have to tell y'all, I've never been to the Big E. Should I go? And if I do, what games should I play? Which rides should I not miss? And more importantly, what should I eat? Send me a text with your suggestions to 617-272-7346. That's 617-272-7346. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since fried Oreos and the Ferris wheel. Or on second thought, maybe not. I'm Paris Alston. Be well. Hey, there's another show here at WBUR that's very dear to my heart. And why is that, you ask? Well, because I used to work on it. That show is WBUR's Radio Boston, our local daily news magazine, and it's another way to get a whole bunch of information about what's happening in our city and our region every day. Just search for Radio Boston in your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe.